Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah opens up by telling us that in the previous chapter we were learning all about the various measurements that makes one liable for carrying on Shabbos, and now we're going to get an exception to the rule as follows. Hamatznia Lizera, one who takes a seed and he puts it away before Shabbos, and he has in mind he's going to plant this seed. So he's giving value to a very, very small object, one single seed. Or Ula Dugma, he takes some kind of item that he wants to use it to show off for an example for something, and he puts it aside. It could be a half a toothpick, but it's something that he's giving value to. He's setting it aside so he can show it as an example of some kind of whatever. Or Vilarifua, someone takes an item and places it aside before Shabbos, to use it for healing. So in these three examples, he's giving value to small objects where normally people don't give value. And then, Votio b'Shabbos, he then goes ahead and takes it out on Shabbos. Even if he just takes it out, stom, he has no intentions. He's not taking it out for the purpose that he had in mind. He just takes it out because he takes it out. Then, Chayiv b'Kol Shehu, he's Chayiv, he's liable, even if the amount is not the official amount that we mentioned in the previous chapter, because over here, since he's giving value to this object, even if it's smaller than the normal amount, he's liable for carrying it on Shabbos. This is a new principle to know, that we've laid down the rules across many, many Mishnahs of what the shear is for each item to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. However, over here, if one gives value to something, he sets it aside before Shabbos, he gives it value, then even a minute shear makes him liable because he values it. V'chol Adam, and everybody else, people that don't value it, just all the normal people, ain't chayav lav ela kishiyuroi. The Kahati says, Avakol Adam acher shotzi b'Shabbos. Anybody else that walked into the house and took this item from this person and carried it on Shabbos would not be liable unless he carries the normal shear for that item that the Chachamim placed from that we learned in the previous chapter. So this is only applicable to the one that sets it aside, that gives it value. Everybody else that picks up this, you know, tiny little seed or whatever he has would not be liable because they go with the normal amounts of the Chachamim or Koveya that we mentioned in the previous chapter. So that's the concept to keep in mind. Now what happens, Chazar v'hichniso, if this guy that set it aside before Shabbos, and we said this minute amount now has value to it, let's just say on Shabbos he changes his mind, and now he doesn't want to use it for planting, or the dugma for the sample that he's going to use it for, or this item for refuah, he totally changes his mind. Then, now that he changed his mind, in a chayev, he's not chayev anymore on carrying out a small minute amount, because he changed his das, he changed his mind of giving it that kind of value. Ela kishiyuroi, and it goes back to the normal shear of what the Chachamim normally said makes one liable on Shabbos. So this guy, this yachid, who gave value to something very, very minute and small, that we're saying he's liable for carrying it on Shabbos, if he changes his mind, then he himself also will go back to the normal rule of using the standard shiurim on Shabbos. Moving right along to Mishnah Beis. So we had mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta that when one carries on Shabbos, so normally it's from a Rishus Yachid, a private domain, to a Rishus Rabim, a public domain, or vice versa, from a public domain to a private domain. But the idea is you're going from domain to domain. If you're just going, you know, from a private domain to a Carmelis, or from a public domain to a Carmelis, then we said that on a Torah level, you didn't do any prohibition, but only on a rabbinic level, then you do transgress a prohibition. And the idea is a Carmelis, we discussed, it's like this area that's kind of like either like a no man's land, or there are various explanations of a Carmelis. You could see back in the first shiur that we discussed, in the introduction to Mishnayos, we discuss the various explanations of a Carmelis, but for all practical purposes, we're just going to call it, you know, kind of like this, this like in-between area. Not a private domain, not a public domain. So now, with that in mind, let's see Mishnah Beis. Hamotzi Oakland, one who carries regular food on Shabbos, unasanam al haskufa, and then he places it on the threshold in front of his house. And the Gemara explains that this askufa is a karmelis. It's a space which is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is about 4 handbreadths by 4 handbreadths in area. And its height is anywhere from 3 tefachim, 3 handbreadths, to 9 tefachim, to 9 handbreadths. So if one places the food from his house, a public domain, onto this askufa, the threshold in front of his house, which is the karmelis, Bein shechazav rotzion, whether he goes and then takes it from the karmelis and brings it to the rishus rabim. So here you have from rishus yachid to rishus rabim, from a private domain to a public domain, but he stops off of the karmelis in the middle. Bein shotzion achir, or whether someone else comes along, just walks by and picks it off this askufa and then brings it into the rishus rabim. So whether it was him himself from his house to the askufa to the public domain, or someone else came and just picked it up from the skufa and brought it to a public domain, then they're all pater from bringing a carbon chatas. They're not liable for a carbon chatas. Because he didn't do the act in one shot. The kahati explains, he didn't take from a private domain and put it in a public domain in one shot. So first he took it out of his house. He put it on the karmelis. It rested there. And then he brought it out to the Rosh Hashanah. And the same thing we did it the other way around. The idea here is that once it stops off on that karmelis, so it entered into the quote-unquote no man's land, and even though it goes from there into a Rosh Hashanah, a public domain, he's not liable on a Torah level because he didn't go from one full domain to another full domain. Kupa, another concept. If someone has a box, a basket, shimalei peros, filled up with fruit, and he removes it from his house on Shabbos, unesana al haskufa hachitzara, and here he places it on the outer threshold. They explain over here, this is the outer threshold, is right near the public domain, and this is less than 3 tefachim tall. So we say that if something is less than 3 handbreadths tall, we deem it like the regular street. And therefore, this askufa is like a real Rosh Hashanah, but like a public domain. So for practical purposes, he took it out from his house and put it into a public domain. However, here's the chiddush. Alpha pish ruva piros, even though that most of the fruit in this basket are mibachutz, they're outside in the public domain, they're still a little bit less than the private domain. So imagine this, you know, long box with most of it outside and part of it inside. So then a person is putter, he's not chayv for karmel chatas, ad shiyotzi es kol hakupa, until he removes the entire box from his private house and puts it in a public domain, only then would he be chayv. And they bring that over here. Of course, it has to be in one shot. Klemer, she'enu chayv elam kin hoti v'bas achas es kol kubul shrapim. You have to remove the entire box from your private domain into a public domain. And the kavana of the Mishnah is what it's telling you here is that we don't have to tell you by one item that the whole thing's got to be outside. That's simply, you have to remove the whole thing. If you only remove half of it, you're not liable. But over here, you could say that you have a box and it's filled with fruit. And most of the fruit in the box are already outside. So maybe I would say that it makes one liable for carrying on Shabbos. Kamash Bolan, therefore the Mishnah comes to tell you that since even a minute amount of the fruit, you have this long box, 90 of the fruit in the box are outside, 10 of the fruit of the box are inside, since you didn't totally remove it out of the house, that on a Torah level, you're not liable for carrying on Shabbos. And we see from here another chiddush, is that not only does an item have to be totally out from your house in the public domain to be considered carrying, but also since over here, you didn't do it in one shot, right? Let's just say someone came along afterwards and then pulled it all the way out. And now it's not in the house at all. So Lachari would say he's liable now, right? The answer is no. Because since again it stopped in the middle, it stopped in an area that one is putter because not all the fruit were outside. So therefore in this case also, he would be putter from bringing a carbon chatas because it stopped in a spot where technically is putter because not all the fruit left. And this has the same common denominator as the first case. When you're moving something from one domain to the other, if you stop in the middle in an area where you wouldn't be liable for whatever reason it is, then even though you continue later on, you're not liable for carrying on Shabbos. It has to be directly from a private domain straight to the public domain without any breaks.